Welcome to the 25th episode of A Change of the Chance. My name is Ryan Lowe, and it is my goal to educate listeners, especially young ones, on the issues in this world by interviewing different experts who can lead us into the charge for change. Where I live, in America, there is a clear disparity between the rich and the poor, and the ever-growing supremacy of the very wealthiest has made the divide even greater. In the United States alone, the top 1% of the population enjoy 16 times more wealth than the entire bottom 50% combined. Due to this, 11% of Americans are below the poverty line, and many others are suffering, barely able to sustain basic needs. Classism is a real issue in this country and a byproduct of capitalism. Today, let's dive into one particular solution. One way to repair such gaps is employee ownership, the process of putting the stocks and ownership of a company in the hands of its employees, who are much less well off than the owner, majority stakeholder, or senior leadership. This helps to spread equity across business ownership and presents economic and social benefits as well. Now, for many years, the organization Project Equity has helped numerous companies transition into employee ownership. Project Equity has worked with small businesses around the country, aiding in the efforts to restore economic equity, employee engagement, and well-being. This was one of the first times I've ever heard of the empowering concept, and this was some of the research I did. So to learn more, we'll be talking to Miss Allison Lingane, who is the co-founder of Project Equity. So how are you doing, Miss Lingane? Thank you for joining us.
What a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to see you. So first of all, what exactly are employee-owned businesses and how can they help lower-income workers?
I'm so glad that you and your podcast listeners are interested in the topic of employee ownership. It's a concept that not many people are very familiar with, and one that has been around for decades upon decades in the United States, and has in the United States, there's about 15 million employee owners today. And in other parts of the world is even more common than in the US. So there's more than one way that a company can be organized in order to be owned by its employees. But the concept is that the broad base of employees, not just a handful, not just management, not just key employees, but that the broad base of employees has access to the benefits of ownership, which broadly speaking are threefold. The first is there's some component of voice or control by the employees. The second is access to the profits, and that the flip side is, of course, the losses are also become your responsibility, right? And then the third is, when you own an asset like a business, the value of that asset can go up or down. And so it's benefiting from the growth in the value of the asset over time.
Well, it's really great to hear you bring this issue, or not issue, this solution to a forefront, because as you said earlier, not many people know about it, nor did I. And it's great that we're going to bring it up. So how difficult is this process to switch to an employee ownership, and why is that worth that effort?
So, companies change hands all the time, right? Like maybe you start up a business and maybe 8-10 years in, it's doing well, it's stable, and you're like, okay, this is great. And I'm now ready to go start my next thing. And I want to find a buyer for this business that I started. Or maybe on the other end of the spectrum, your, say, great grandfather founded a company and passed it on to your grandfather, passed it on to your father, and now passed it on to you. It, by the way, it is usually men, just historically, business ownership. And so you're, third, fourth generation family business, but your kids don't want to take it over. And so you need to find a buyer when it's your time, your turn to pass it on, your turn to retire. And then there's everything in between. And what most people aren't aware of is that in the United States today, an estimated one out of every two privately held businesses with employees is owned by somebody who is in the baby boomer generation. So they're 55 or older, needing to plan for their retirement. Whether they're actually planning is another question. Needing to plan for their retirement, and that those businesses are going to change hands in the next 10, 15, 20 years, or they're just going to close down. And so it's a very normal thing for companies to be sold. And just like anything, it takes some effort. So regardless of whether you're doing it to create employee ownership or whether you're doing it to sell to another buyer or to sell to, say, private equity or a big corporation, it's going to take some time and energy. Employee ownership is not necessarily harder than any other way to sell a business, but it is less familiar. And so because it's less familiar, it feels more complex or more challenging or whatever it might be. But it requires you as a business owner to, you know, get your store, quote unquote, get your store in order, right? Make sure your books are clean and everything's all set and ready. And then to do all of the work to set up the legal agreements to sell the business. The added piece for employee ownership is you also are wanting to make sure that the employees are ready to take on the roles that they will be taking on as owners. Now, most people who, because it's unfamiliar, sort of automatically think, oh, well, the employees are all going to become managers. But that's not the case. When, let's say you have a 100-person company that's transitioning to become employee-owned. Well, the management structure is still going to stay in place because you need a management structure or some sort of organizing mechanism to so the people know what to do, right? And so that people are doing the things that need to be done in order for that business to be successful. So you're not upending all of the management structure or necessarily even getting rid of management structure, but the employee voice, you need mechanisms for that employee voice to come to bear so that there can be, you know, the employees who are having a say in the big strategic decisions of the business. And also that there's an ownership culture. So we recently were chatting with a client of ours, and they were talking about they're about a year into their transition. And the general manager of this employee-owned company was commenting that one of the employee owners the other day just took care of a problem that needed to be taken care of without coming and asking him if it should be done or how it should be done. He just took care of it. And he said, this, we have arrived. We now have what I would call an ownership culture because people are taking ownership of the business, taking care of issues or problems, and only really surfacing the ones sort of up to the you know, the general manager that really require some attention from the top leadership.
Yeah, well, every issue and its solution, they need those benefits, and it's great to hear them from you. And that kind of leads into my next question about, so what you're telling me is that employee ownership is that critical path for equity, but you've probably had to answer this a lot before. For businesses that are actually considering, how can it also financially support that business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for a business owner, I'm going to talk about two scenarios. One scenario is a business owner who is retiring and needing to find a buyer for their business. And then another scenario is a business owner doesn't have plans to retire or exit their business anytime soon. So for the one who's retiring, it's hopefully a fairly obvious benefit, which is that you have a buyer right there under your nose. So your kids don't want to take it over. You don't need to go through the process of like putting your business up for sale and hoping somebody wants to buy it, right? You can just deal with the buyer group that is right there in the form of your employees. It also helps you as a retiring business owner. It helps you control the timeline and the timing of your own retirement. So if you have an outside buyer, you're at the whim of what their needs are in terms of timing. If they want you to stay on for, you know, 3 years as part of your contract or don't want you to stay on at all. So you can have a much bigger say in all of those details about your own timing if you are engaging with your employee group and designing that exit. You can also do it in stages. So you can maybe sell 30% of it now, and then in 5 years, sell the remaining 70% so that you can be planful about your own retirement. Now, the second scenario is that business owner that isn't exiting anytime soon, and they really are looking for a tool for employee engagement and for creating a stronger business. So, you know, talk to most people today and you either know small businesses who are really struggling to find and retain employees, or you're reading the news and you're seeing, you know, the great resignation or quiet quitting, you're seeing all these headlines about people. It's hard to find and keep good people today in our current economy. Well, guess what? Is that it, if you create a workplace that is highly engaged and that also has these financial benefits that I touched on of being an owner, you are creating a higher quality job that is going to be more attractive to people, whether you're needing to bring new people in or whether you're just needing to hold on to the people who you have. And so you create that ownership culture by, yes, investing in the culture, but also actually creating some ownership. Maybe it's 10% ownership of the company to start, or 30% or some threshold to start. And then your employees are more engaged. And guess what happens? Your business is more successful. You have higher profits, you have faster growth, and you outperform your competitors in the next recession, whether that's around the corner or not, we don't yet know.
Yeah.
In our current economy. And then guess what else happens? As you have higher profitability, you then have more capital to forward invest to help grow your business faster. So it's this positive cycle that builds on itself. And so then you, as the business owner, you're like, well, great, my business is doing even better than I had forecast. So whether you're retiring or whether you're just really looking for a strategy to help your business be successful without any exit or succession planning in sight, it can really be a beneficial strategy.
Yeah, well, I might not be a business owner yet, but that does sound like a pretty good way to run things. So now let's get a bit more specific. So Ms. Nguyen, your work is with your organization, Project Equity. So what inspired you to create this organization, and what have been some of your proudest achievements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that question. And it's a little bit of a long story. I'll try and keep it short. But my first real job out of college was running job training programs for young people, for high school students. And it was a real lesson for me in what we try to do to create past opportunity and how hard it can be to do that. So if you're somebody who maybe you were, you know, born in a neighborhood or into a family where, you know, maybe college is not in your future, what kinds of jobs are really going to provide a future for you and enable you to someday have a family and, you know, maybe buy a house? Very, very, very challenging. And so, you know, we think in this country, we talk a lot about like bootstrapping and, you know, I'm just going to work hard and I'm going to go to college and I'm this and that, and education is the path. But in reality, that is a very, very hard path if you are living, just to call it what it is, if you're living in poverty. The kinds of curveballs that poverty throws at you, or if you are in a community that has, you know, over policing, and so maybe you or your family members or your friends are dealing with those challenges in addition, that path can be very challenging. So the question for me was, well, what can we do about that? Because for people who have good jobs, quality jobs that pay enough, that financial stability solves a whole bunch of other problems. And so I basically spent the first part of my career trying to figure out what options were out there. And I looked at social enterprises and, I worked in a number of different mission-driven companies in the education space. And I kept kind of coming back to it. Oh, there's got to be something. And then I was literally randomly introduced to my co-founder, Hillary Abell. And I had been to business school. I had worked in mission-driven companies for a decade and a half, and I had never heard about this form of organizing a company. And it was a big light bulb moment for me, which is this is the kind of strategy that I've been looking for, where I can just go get a job somewhere, and that opens up this path to opportunity, financial opportunity, and professional opportunity. And then the next question became, well, why isn't it something that is taught in business schools? Why isn't it something that is a normal part of our society and people have heard about it and are familiar with it? And then the next question became, well, what can we do about it? And so that's the genesis of Project Equity. And really, our mission is about creating these past opportunity through employee ownership for people who are low and moderate income and people of color. And at the same time, working really hard to normalize employee ownership so that it is self-generating and very familiar in our economy.
And what about your achievements?
Oh, and some of the achievements that we are proud of. Well, I will say that we are extremely proud, not of ourselves, but of the employee owners who have created these amazing employee-owned companies that we have helped. So, you know, we just had a big event actually last week in Oakland called the Employee Ownership Equity Summit. And we had a panel of folks from different employee-owned companies that have been a part of our services. And they were talking about the benefits financially to them, to their team, after having become employee owned. And one business, they were a bakery. They're based in Los Angeles, and they had profit sharing within the first year of becoming employee owned, where they shared nearly $150,000 with their employee owners. And the largest check to any one individual was $20,000. So imagine you are working in a bakery, your wage level is, you know, maybe higher than an average bakery because you're an employee-owned company, but still, you know, not over the top in a very high cost place like LA or the Bay Area. And suddenly you get a $20,000 profit sharing check, right? Like, that's huge. And that is all due to the hard work of those groups of people. And that's not a single example, by the way. We've seen this over and over and over in the companies that we have helped. But it's due to the hard work of those employees who have become owners and have just really taken on what it means to be an owner in their small business.
Yeah, and I do love hearing these amazing stories about great people, but I also want you to acknowledge how your organization has helped many people do something like that. So can you talk about any local initiatives or programs that Project Equity has implemented to support employee-owned businesses in the Bay Area?
Absolutely. I'm going to lift up the city of Berkeley, one of our local partners. And we've been partnered with the city, gosh, going back now for maybe 6 or 7 years, maybe 6 years, something like that. And we worked with another local organization called the Sustainable Economies Law Center. And, really partnered with the city to help them look holistically about how they can support employee ownership. And they did a number of really cool things that if we have more time, I could go into detail about. But they also partnered with Project Equity to support our direct outreach to companies in Berkeley, and then supported our technical assistance work with companies in Berkeley. And I'm going to just list off a few of the companies that became employee owned directly through the support of the City of Berkeley and Project Equity, so that if any of your listeners are local and are interested in going to check them out. So one of them is a fabulous manufacturing company, and they're called Adams and Chittenden Scientific Glass. And imagine a research laboratory at a leading university, and they need some specialized glass equipment in order to do their research, and it needs to be to scientific spec. Well, they can call up this company or email them and send them their drawing of exactly what they need, and they have a team of glass blowers who will create those beakers and those very specialized scientific pieces of equipment to spec. Another one is called the Local Butcher. And this is a business that is a stone's throw and a half from Chez Panisse in Berkeley. And they are a company that they're a butcher shop. So you can walk in and you can get cuts of meat that they have cut themselves. So they, you know, go out and buy an entire cow and then butcher it, and they don't waste anything. So first off, they only buy from local farmers. And so they're all about the regional food shed and making sure that they're supporting those local farmers. And then secondly, like I said, they waste nothing. So you can even buy dog food from, you know, the sort of remains of that cow, the local butcher shop. So those are just a couple of examples. We have many more that have been supported by the city of Berkeley. Again, I could go on and on and on all day long.
Well, it's just really great to hear about stuff like that. And I really love the uniqueness of those two places you mentioned, from like glass blowing to cows. Yeah. So while one of the major hurdles is the transition to employee-owned businesses, what does Project Equity do to support employee-owned businesses after that transition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very astute question, because simply changing the ownership structure doesn't mean your work is done in terms of building a successful employee-owned company. So we have a program, we call it our Thrive program, which is designed to be about 2 years post-transaction, so the sale of the business, to create employee ownership, and then we work with a company for 2 years post-transaction. So one of our clients stuck around with us for 4 years and, you know, they got so much value out of it. So the idea is that we want to make sure that the company is thriving and that the employee owners are also thriving in their businesses. And so we support all of the structures and processes to help make that happen over time.
Ah, okay. So can you tell me a little bit more about some specifics of the Thrive program?
Sure. So one of the things that we do is we work with the, so imagine, again, back to the, like, you're the business owner, right? So you're the business owner and you have sold your company, but maybe you're not exiting. So you're staying on, you're the general manager. But one of the things about employee ownership is that the employee owners are often involved at the board level. So in a company, this is called governance. And so you have a board of directors that does some really important things for the business. So one is that they have fiduciary responsibility. So they're kind of watching the bottom line and making sure that things are on track and asking the right questions if they aren't. Another is that they will set policies for the business. So, you know, very, you know, high level policies that then get implemented through the management team. And then the third is that they oversee the management. So they hire, or if needed, fire the general manager. So we will help the business make a transition from sometimes not even having a board, or maybe they have a board on paper. It's, you know, the owner and his or her partner and their buddy, to actually having a formal board. Also, things like having formal financial reports that get reviewed on a quarterly basis. Oftentimes, business owners run their companies on a cash flow basis, and they've been doing it for so many years, they know like how much needs to come in order to make payroll. So formalizing all of those processes, supporting those employees to understand things like how to read your financial statements, because if you don't understand how to interpret what's going on in your business, it's very hard to then turn around and ask you to make important strategic decisions about the business. And so that training needs to happen to support the employees. And then those employees who are running for and being elected to serve on the board of directors get an extra set of training to help them be successful in those roles.
Well, I'm really glad that you do come full circle with your employee-owned businesses. Also, sorry for asking for that elaboration. I have yet to understand some of those fancy business terms.
You're doing a great job.
So what is a common misperception about employee-owned businesses?
Yeah, so common misperception is, the first is that the employees are making all of the decisions together. So, you know, you got a 50-person company and they're all coming together and deciding what color pens to buy. Well, that's not efficient. That's not effective. And that's not how any good company is run, much less an employee-owned company. So as I was mentioning earlier, there still is management, and that management stays in place to make management decisions, right? The employee voice comes into play at the board level. So as I was going through those three roles of the board, making input into or making big strategic decisions, but not necessarily all deciding together what color pens to buy. another really important misconception, which frankly often it holds up business owners from even considering this path, is that the employees together need to come up with the cash to buy the business somehow through rich uncles or, you know, money in their mattress that they're going to, or a, you know, a HELOC, but you know, a lot of employees don't own homes, so they can't necessarily take out a loan against their home. But it's not actually the employees who come up with the money to buy the business. It's the business itself. So I'm going to give you just a super simple example, a round number. Imagine your business is worth $1 million. A lot of businesses are worth a lot more than that. So multiply it by 10 or by 100, whatever you want to multiply it by. But just for the purpose of the example, $1 million. So on the day of the sale of the business, the owner will get about $700,000, so about 70% of the sale price, and that will come from a loan that the business takes out. So the business has been operating for 10 years or 30 years or three or four generations, and a bank or another lending institution like a community development financial institution is going to lend to that business based upon that successful cash flow history. Okay, so $700,000 is a loan that the business takes out, and then the remaining 30%, $300,000, will come from the business owner, him or herself, lending it to the company. So on day one, the business owner walks away with a check for $700,000 and a note or a loan from the business to the business that gets paid back. Think of it like they're getting monthly payments on that loan over a period of 5 years. So some would call that like an annuity payment, but it's monthly payments from the business over 5 years, sometimes seven, to pay back the remainder of that loan. And so the employees, in some forms of employee ownership, the employees might bring a small amount of money to the table, but they'll most typically pay that out of their paychecks. Like it'll be withheld from their paychecks for the first year or maybe 18 months. But at the time of close, they won't necessarily have that cash to bring to the table. So what that means is that you can have a group of folks, say they work in a bakery or in a manufacturing company, that aren't making a whole lot of money, so they don't necessarily have a whole lot of cash in their mattress, who can still become employee owners thanks to the ability of the business to take out a loan to essentially buy itself from the selling owner.
So some common misperceptions of employee-owned businesses are communism and debt. The good thing you cleared that up. So my last question for you is, what are Project Equity's goals this year and for the next 5 years?
Yeah, what goals do we have? Well, in the 5 to 10 year timeframe, our goals really are around making employee ownership much more scaled, much more common, and as I was saying, self-generating. So how do we do that? Well, we do it through policy levers, and there have been a number of really important policy wins in the last 6 months, including a brand new bill that was passed. We helped get it passed, signed into law in September by Governor Newsom, called the California Employee Ownership Act. So getting both state and federal governments to support employee ownership in meaningful ways. Another goal that we have is really focused on making sure, you know, so our name is Project Equity, right? And the word equity was purposefully a double entendre, right? Equity means ownership in businesses. And it also means equity and fairness. And racial equity is a really important part of that. So we have an initiative called the Black Employee Ownership Initiative, which is really about being targeted and focused on making sure that we're helping companies become employee owned that have a significant Black workforce. So I could talk to you for an hour just about that. And then, you know, we also are just continuing to support new employee-owned companies to come to life. So every year we help somewhere between 7 and 10 new companies become employee-owned. And then finally, I will say we're working on helping business advisors in the private sector. So these are your lawyers, your accountants, your CPAs, the ones who are helping business owners with the important decisions about their business. We are trying to very strategically and systematically educate those business owners about employee ownership so that they will refer it, so that they don't have those misconceptions, but instead recognize the many positive benefits of employee ownership, refer their clients, and in some cases, even maybe help with a part of the work to make the employee ownership transition possible.
Well, I wish you luck with all that really cool stuff, and I'll help in any way that I can. So, as I said, those are all the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much, Ms. Engage. You've been incredibly patient and inspiring in explaining why more businesses must consider this step in creating a more equitable society. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It's been a true pleasure.
That's it for A Change of the Chance, episode 25. I hope that you learned something, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.